kind of what I would say is part one of our vision of who we are. It's a good time if you kind of wonder what are we as a community, who are we and who are we becoming? And so we kind of kicked that off last week. And so a good place to start is last week was a big, long, if you will, teaching that was really crucial to who we are as a community. And it did not get recorded for the podcast. And it was one that you go, no, that's that sometimes happens, but that's not okay. So what we need to do is we're just going to do it again, not this morning, but we're going to pick an E. If you're like, oh, I should have slept in. So we'll do like an evening thing, though, because we do need, like, we'll just jump back in, an evening thing where we can share a meal and kind of, I'll share it again in, it'll probably mix it up a little bit, and then maybe we can have some Q&A as well. So I'll let you know when we're going to do that. We'll do that soon, and we'll do it in an evening so we can kind of share a meal together. And it's always better when we can do it in conversation a bit so I can share, and then people might have questions, because last week I could see people had questions, and we didn't have time to dig into that. But it's really crucial to who we are as a community. And so in many ways, this is part two of that. And so you're going to learn a bit about, quite a bit about the vision of who we are and who we're becoming, but also why we function the way we function as a church. And so Kara and I are going to walk through this with you all this morning. And so I'd love to say a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump in to it. Gracious God, we bless you for this morning, for the opportunity to gather as your body, the church. God, we bless you for that. We are grateful for the freedom that we have to gather and to be able to dig into that which matters most. And we do not take that freedom or this gathering lightly. And so we want to lean in with everything that we are and pay attention to what you have for us this morning. And that's why we're here, is we desire to hear from you. Not just as individuals, but more so as a community, that you would speak into us, guide us, lead us, pull us along, push us along, poke and prod our hearts, that we would follow you in all of this. And so, God, as the psalmist says, may the posture and meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouths bring honor and glory to you and you alone, our Lord, our rock, and our Savior. We pray all of this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, so as we get going, what I'll state first is if you were to go to any one of the Harbor campuses, there are five campuses, you will hear the same mission statement. So the same mission. Our mission is to help people find their way back to God. That's the mission of who we are, is to help people find their way back to God. And to give you an idea of what that looks like for us, how we would unpack that is to help people find their way back to God, I want to tell you a story found in early in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 25 through chapter 33. And so instead of reading that this morning, because that would go into the evening, I'll just kind of share that. There is this couple, Isaac and Rebecca, and they are married for several, many years before they have kids. And then when they have kids, they have twin boys. And the first one comes out and they name him Esau because he's hairy, and that's what the name Esau means, and a little red. And then his brother comes out kind of connected to him, if you will, the younger one, grasping his heel, as the story says. And so he has a hold of his brother's heel, and so they name him Jacob. And Jacob is actually a Hebrew idiom for one who grasps, one who deceives, one who takes advantage of. How'd you like that name? And if you're Jacob here this morning and you're like, oh, that's what it means. Sweet. Thanks, Mom and Dad. One who deceives. Now, the thing that's fascinating is Jacob lives into his name, if you will. He lives a life that is about deception. It's about deceiving. It's about taking advantage of others to get what he wants. He views life to what he can get, take. And so he lives into this until he essentially wrecks the relationships around him with his family. And then he comes to this place where he runs. And he's basically running from all that he's messed up, his consequences. He's like, I'm out of here. And so he takes off running, one, at the behest of his mom. His mom's like, you better run because, oh, by the way, your brother Esau, because of the way you've taken advantage of him, he wants to kill you. Which you usually go, oh, interesting. But you go, then I'm out of here. And he runs, but here's where it's fascinating. As he runs, the writer then says he came to a certain place. And that's just a way of writing to say a certain place means it's ordinary, it's common, it's regular. It isn't anything special. It's kind of this barren land. And it's here that Jacob comes, and then he rests for the night. And so he says, he puts a rock behind his head, and he falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, he has this brilliant dream. And in this dream, he is standing face to face with the divine, with God. And God says to him, I am going to bless the entire world through you and your offspring. That's what I'm going to do. And then when Jacob wakes from his dream, he is awakened not just from sleep, but from something way more. And he says this statement. We'll throw it on the screen. Next slide. So he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. That's what happens when he wakes up from the dream. Oh, God is in this place. And in fact, he's been here the entire time. I was not aware of it. Now, that word aware in the Hebrew is the word yada. Go ahead and say yada.
Yada.
Yada means an intimate, experiential kind of knowing. It's actually a Hebrew idiom for sex between a man and a woman. And so it is an experiential kind of knowing. It isn't, oh, you know what, I learned a bunch of statements and now I'm aware of stuff. No. I passed a quiz. Nope. I've experienced something that's rattled the very core of who I am, and this changes everything. He awakens to the more. And then he keeps going. And then years go by, he gets married, he has kids, and then Jacob is summoned to return to those that he has deceived, that he has a broken relationship with, and it says, you need to go back there, and you need to reconcile, you need to make this right. And so he then is heading back, and what happens again is he finds himself in this place. Not like this idea of this certain space, and that certain space, again, was just, it was kind of in between where he was, but it's not where he is going. It's the in between. And once again, as he is heading toward his family that he has deceived, he finds himself again in this in between space. And there, this time, what he does is it says all through the night, he wrestles with the divine. He wrestles, he has this wrestling match, and in that wrestling match, he is given a new name, because Jacob means deceiver, to take advantage of, and he is given a new name, Israel, and Israel means God wrestles, or one who struggles with God and overcomes. So imagine that your name was deceiver, to take advantage of. Now you're given a new name that says you've struggled with the divine and you have overcome. To wrestle is this new name that he is given. And then from there, he has again this growth, this movement. And in that, then he walks away. But when he walks from the ashes of this experience of wrestling with the divine, it says that he walked with a limp. Because he had his hip wrenched within the wrestling match, and he walks away with a limp. And this is stunning. Why? Because when you engage with the divine, when you wrestle with God, when you embrace the whole spectrum of life, you will walk away with a limp. When you've experienced God, you will walk away with a limp. But the limp is a sign of growth. It says that you're in the game, that you're connected and that you are all in. And so, of course, you walk with a limp. It's a reminder that you're becoming more and that you are in this. So when we say helping people find their way back to God, why we this story is because what we aren't doing is saying, hey, here's a box of belief statements. Will you check off these statements? Will you intellectually agree with these and check them off? That's what it means. But instead, what we say is we want to create space, be a safe people, to create a safe space to help people experience the divine, and we actually invite people into the wrestling match so that they will awaken and go, whoa, God has been here the entire time. I was just lost in myself. I was focused on everything that I could get that I didn't realize all that I already have. I wasn't aware of it. There's way more going on. And so we just want to create space and opportunity, invite people to wrestle with God. And that's what we're always doing. Will you wrestle with the divine? Oh, I have doubts. I don't get it. I have all kinds of questions. And okay, good. Wrestle. Wrestle. Don't run from it. Engage in it. And so we're here to be partners with you as you wrestle. Because we believe, we trust that in the wrestling match, well, you'll awaken one day and you'll be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. God has been here the entire time. I just wasn't paying attention. I wasn't aware of it. And when we get there to, so our mission statement, it takes us a bit more deeper into who we are as a community and kind of that next step.
So every Sunday when we gather here, every time we gather, we're asking this question, why? Why do we gather? And just like we asked a couple minutes ago, we try to put some words to not necessarily providing an answer to that question, but maybe guiding us towards that experience. And so that's why we read this statement of purpose. So I'm going to read it again. Since everyone was just like super chatty this morning, and we didn't even hardly hear it. Just kidding. That's what we want, right? Let's chat. So our statement of purpose reads this. We're here because we've caught a glimpse of light in the midst of darkness. For some, this light was blinding. For others, it was soft. It was a soft flicker, enough to call us toward it. We know this light will last. And we trust that this light extends beyond death. So let us now collectively explore the next right step on the illuminated path. This path, we all come into these spaces with different paths, different stories, different experiences. And it's one of my absolute favorite things to do, to actually pause in a moment like this and to say, if we could all of a sudden like hop on a plane or something and see this experience from an aerial view and grasp this idea that no two people in this space began in the same place and no two people have taken the exact same steps, one right after the next, but somehow in what I believe is the magic of it, the spirit of it, all of these stories and these paths are colliding in one place and one time right now, and we really didn't have a whole lot to do with it. There's a lot of mystery and beauty behind that, but we all come with these different experiences and stories, these paths. Have you ever walked a path with a child, like a hike maybe? We tend to do this from time to time, like, it's a sunny day, let's go on a hike, we'll go to the sand dunes, or we'll do this, and then I go into my mode of planning, okay, good, well, this will be like an hour's worth of time, we'll stop at this point, it's clear as day. And then when you get on the path, like, what are some things the kids might see? Look, an acorn. Or like, if you're in the fall, look, there's a red leaf. And there's 8,000 red leaves. Or look, there's a print in the sand. I wonder what animal that is. And quickly, we learn that along the path, sometimes there are distractions. And there are new and exciting things to see. And for a lot of the time that we spend on our paths, we need those things. because they invite us into bigger questions. They invite us into exploration and maybe seeing something that we wouldn't otherwise see. But sometimes the distractions for the path, we lead ourselves or find ourselves in places that are dark or it's getting windy, and we need our guides to pull us back and center us back on the path. There's an age-old trick, maybe you've heard of it, if you're walking a path deep in the woods, one way to remember where you've been and how to get back on the path is to keep track of markers. Maybe you tie something on a tree or you leave a trail of something so that you know and can remember where you have been and what was important about that place. There's almost a rhythm that could be created out of leaving one marker of remembrance, one after the next, after the next. These are the rhythms that we kind of long for in our lives, even if we don't realize that they're there. After Jacob's dream, he wakes up and one of his next thoughts and lines are, "This is none other than the house of God." In this moment of awareness, there's something in him that says, "I need to respond to this." So what he does is he takes stones, and we see this oftentimes throughout the scripture narrative, where people in a moment of what I would say like holy remembrance is they will take a stone and either build a tower with it or place it significantly upright. We have a couple pictures of this so that you can see what this might look like. Here it is. It's prominent. You can't be walking the path and not see it. It symbolizes that there is something to remember here. And they wouldn't just use stones in and of itself that they would speak for themselves, but they would oftentimes mark them one way or another with a name or something that would communicate the specifics, that they would communicate the faithfulness of the experience, the assurance of the path. In Jacob's case, this word would have been Bet-El, or what we know as Bethel, which means the house of God. So we may not necessarily build towers of rocks, or, I mean, that takes some serious muscles to be able to make a statement like that.
Yeah, next slide. Yeah, get a little bit closer. And then the next one has, like, where they document. This is in Israel. This is actually in Gezer. Is where we took these pictures. And so, but where they mark their places. Mm-hmm. So the writing. Yeah,
we don't maybe do this, but we do create rituals, or we do create ways and patterns and rhythms of remembering. And so that's what we do, we gather. Our time of gathering and standing side by side one another, or looking to each other's eyes and singing songs and just saying, "We're here," this is one of the ways that we remember. We make space for each other. Because what happens if we don't? What happens if we're unsure of where we need to be on our paths and we forget the experience of God within the community? Well, since we're talking about remembering, let's just point out what's going on in our brains alone, like in a day-to-day basis, just alone, ourselves. On a day-to-day basis, 80% of our thoughts are negative, and 95% of these thoughts are repetitive. So that makes me stop and say, "Oh man, that could be trouble if I am just alone and alone and alone and alone. If there's nothing to interrupt me and guide me back to where I need to be, that's not a place where we want to be." But we gather because sometimes we struggle to believe in ourselves or remember the things that we need to remember. So may we believe in each other. Sometimes we struggle to love ourselves. When we gather, may we love each other. Sometimes we feel like we cannot even just believe for better. So may we believe for each other. Why do we gather? My husband is into, like, outdoorsy stuff. So my interest has been sparked more into that recently. So I want him to know I care about what he's interested in. So we talk sometimes about national parks and important things to see. And one of the things that it has really drawn my attention to in some of my exploring are the Redwood Forests. Has anyone been to the Redwood Forest before in here? Yeah, you guys, so jealous. So I've only seen it via a computer screen, which clearly is not the same. But these forests are made up of the biggest trees in the entire world. I'll show you a picture. They're hundreds of feet wide.
See the little person down below?
Who is that? Is that you, Wally?
No.
Is it?
No. Oh, that's a real that's a full-size person. Yeah. This is not Honey, I Shrunk the Person.
Not just a person, but you also can drive a car through it.
Yeah, next one.
Look at that.
Yeah, that big.
I can't wait. That's on my bucket list to do.
Isn't that fantastic?
It's amazing. We don't see those around here. But something that just blew my mind about these trees is you would think in order to have a forest such a size, the root system, what's happening underground, has got to be an entire universe in and of itself. I'd imagine the roots plummeting so deep they couldn't be traced. But the reality is that for these trees, their root systems only go a matter of a few short feet beneath the ground. And it's because what happens is their roots begin to connect and link arms with each other. So no tree is being nourished alone. One tree's water, one tree's nourishment becomes every tree's nourishment. And when I read that, I thought, my goodness, this is what community should be like, that when we gather, we would gather to remember that nobody is breathing their own oxygen. We're breathing the same breath. Nobody is literally standing on an alone path or an alone island. We are all sharing in it together. So the thing is, when we gather, we don't come into a space or this space because we are obligated for any reason. We're not obligated to celebrate. We're not obligated to give, to laugh, to cry, to talk, to sing, to stand, sit, you name it. But we gather in this space because we're invited to be found by each other, to be found by the divine, to be found by love.
All right, that takes us to how we gather. So maybe you've been wondering, why do we do the things we do, or how is it, like, when we gather, hopefully it's not always the same. But to get into how we gather, we, Walker Harbor, begin with the content. So we're going to begin with, for us often, it's the scripture that shapes behind the scenes for us. When we are planning or thinking into our gathering, we begin with the content. What is God up to, and how is that going to shape then what we do here? So the content is consistent and stable and is always there, but the container then, which would be our gathering, if you will, the container's always changing. It is morphing and being shaped and reshaped by the content. So we allow that to drive how we're going to gather, because we desire to be a participatory community. So when we come, we understand then that we're not coming where there's going to be a few of us up front just doing everything and everyone else does nothing. When we create space to connect, when we do some of the gathering things that we will do, we are creating a participatory, practiced-based community. That's how we would say it. We need to practice this. We want to work this out in community. So that's what we're moving towards. And so Kara is going to take us to the whiteboard.
Yes, I've always dreamed to use the whiteboard.
Yeah. And so that way we can see.
Right? Don't you always want to have just one moment in your life where you can just use the markers at the whiteboard?
Or at the board. We got to use that. So she'll walk us through a bit to display, show us, because some of us need that mental visual.
Or this could just be for me to use the marker. That's true. I don't know. Yeah. Because here's the thing, if you have been here more than one gathering, you will know that as well, I just said the container changes. Things are changing. But we are so human that change is just scary. You could say that you like it and you're really good at it, but we all have ways of not wanting to accept the discomfort of change. So if you have ever taken, done any, I don't know, studies or like psychology or relationships, maybe you have seen this model before. This feels so fancy. Okay, all I'm gonna do is draw a circle too. It's all I'm gonna do. So this is the space where we feel comfortable. So let me change colors, could I?
Yeah, no, okay. That's the way we do it right there, okay. See?
I know it's not like that big, but this is what we're gonna call the comfort.
It's an awesome F.
It's really shaky. Is that how you spell comfort?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Does anyone ever sometimes think there's a P in the word comfort? All right, could just be me.
Got,
it's fine.
Yeah, you
I'll
got affirmation
it.
On that one.
That's fine. I'll own it. Okay. This is our comfort zone. Apply it to anything. Relationships, daily routines, your desk at work. All the things that we kind of create in our life, that make us feel safe and comfortable. This is the comfort space, okay? And then there's another ring like this, and then there's all this space out here. We'll start with out here. If in the very middle is our comfort zone, that means on the far edges in the complete opposite space. I'm tempted to grab another color just to make it rainbow-like, but this will do. We're going to call this area out here, this is our danger zone, which means we are on the complete opposite end of what feels comfortable and what feels safe. So then, guys, class, just kidding, what might this be? My dreams are coming true. This is what we're going to call the growth zone. And this is actually the place where ideally we want to spend the most of our time in our lives, but this is some of the place that we tend to avoid the most. And so it's interesting because when it comes to our church experience or what we hope for in a gathering time or experience together, this can also apply. Because don't we have a lot of ideas in our minds or experiences on what we think is comfortable when it comes to church? Everyone's got a completely different path, as we said, coming in here, which means a lot of different experiences with or without the church. We have lots of, this is where our preferences and our opinions like to rest. We also like to try to pull people into our own comfort zones. But what we don't realize is that oftentimes our comfort zone could be a danger zone for somebody else. Danger zones can also be things that hit on, maybe you have had a difficult experience with the church before, and you step into a new space, and you may experience something you don't want to experience. I mean, it can apply. The other thing about the comfort zone in regards to church is that this is where also apathy and complacency sort of can sit here too, where we decide that we just are intentionally wanting to choose our comfort because that's just what suits us best. I am no exception. But what happens here? Then this is where change invites us to, that if we are constantly changing the container or bringing new experiences into when we gather, this is where we're stretched. Being uncomfortable a little bit is good. We don't want to be too comfortable. We don't want to feel in danger. And so this is where the heartbeat of our gatherings, we want it to sit here so that we are constantly growing with each other in our experience and in relationship with each other.
Now, a couple things. Yeah, I know. That's fantastic. Because a couple things within that. So what we will, what you'll hear around here is we have, and it's so funny, Whiteboard Sunday is when we, this is going to be a whiteboard gathering, if you will. And a whiteboard is a lot of times where those are usually structured to be interactive. Hey, what do you think? We've spent some time talking about the scripture or text or whatever, and let's go to the board and let's write some of this out. Let's get some ideas down. How are you feeling? Whatever it may be, but it, we're going to create a Whiteboard Sunday where it could be interactive. We have what we call Open Space Sunday, Open Space Gathering, and we'll actually have spaces within the gathering that are going to be, you have a gratitude journal. Could you, maybe you're feeling something, you need to go to write stuff down. Hey, there are some cards and maybe you need to write some prayers on them. They might be shared or they might be private. We'll have a space in which actually we have some people at, and they might pray with you and for you, or just sit with you. And so we'll have that space. And so we'll have an Open Space Sunday that creates different spaces within the gathering for us to experience where we're at. And so we have those. We have liturgical gatherings. Now, and you might not always hear these names, but liturgical for us, that one's going to be more give and take. Like, we're actually going to say some quotes. We're going to read some poems. We're going to read a song together. We're going to read some scripture together, but it's going to be, I'll say this part, you say this part. And so we're doing that because we're reshaping the tracks in our brain when we do that. Liturgical is, hey, you know what? In order to learn this, let's repeat it together over and over and over again. Anyone, the book of Leviticus is just your favorite book, and you go to it pretty much every day. Like, I just love reading Leviticus because it is thrilling, exciting. And you're like, hey, why is it that repeats over and over the blood, and more blood, and then they did this, and you're like, repeats. Well, imagine if you are at a time where you didn't just have books and you pick it up and you read it. And when you gather, you're just going to talk about what you've been reading each day, every day. They didn't have that. So what's the best way to memorize something? Repeat it over and over and over and over again. So it was written for repetitive sake so that people could memorize. And that's what you're going, wow, yeah, memorize Leviticus. That sounds like a fantastic idea. But in order for them to get the rules, the rhythms of life, they memorized it. And so it was written in such a way to remember. And so we are trying to create space and how we gather like that. And it's going to look a little different, feel a little different. But because we want to grow as a community, we're not just going to do the same things that everyone is comfortable with, including for me. I often talk about first service, right? And first service is me at a coffee shop. So I want to real quick within that just say this morning at first service. I had a few guys gather around me, come over and start talking to me, and I started walking them through this, what we're talking about, and sharing. And I had to share Kara's part in some ways, and that was tough, but I got to talk about Kara then. And I'm like, because she wasn't at first service.
Sorry.
That is, what are you doing? Like, we didn't, yeah, right. So in the coffee shop, and I'm talking to these guys, and I'm sharing just about Jacob. So I'm telling this story about Jacob, and I go, and he awakens. And he says, oh, you know, God has been here the entire time. I just wasn't awake to it. I wasn't aware. And then when he wakes up, all of a sudden things begin to shift and change. And it's step one. It's not the end. When he wakes up, when he awakens to the divine, that's not the end goal. That's the beginning place, right? And so I'm telling this, and this one guy says, I haven't been in church ever. He says to me, and he sits there and he gets tears in his eyes and he goes, hey, I think I see it. And I go, oh, interesting. And he starts sharing. And then he goes, hey, I've never been to church before, but I feel like this is my church. Can I? And here's what he said to me. He said to me this morning, is it okay if I say that you're my church when we get together on Sunday morning? That here in this and sharing this. Can I say that? No. No, not until you click this thing and not until you do this and not until you check these boxes, not until you go through standing up in front of everyone and pretty blah. No, I didn't say those things. What I said is, oh, welcome to a gathering. That's what I said. I said, well, welcome to a gathering. grace and peace. It was, oh my goodness. I was like, I got to do this again. First service, stunning. That in a coffee shop, sitting there with all people around and things happening, and we were diving into this with these few guys, both of which, one guy is like, I don't know about this whole thing, but will you say more? And then it just kept going. And I'm like, I have to go. Second service starts in a little bit, so I actually have to get hustling. Stunning. Well, that's not where we've been. That's not what we always see. So within that, I guess we'll shift to what I want to talk about in terms of being a family and how things have shifted and why I'm thrilled about that as we gather as well. My hesitation when I took this job, if we go back, and some of you were there more towards the beginning, my hesitation was I don't see myself or don't feel very comfortable as a boss. And so they were like, we'd like to hire you to be the pastor of this, you know, this people's, this campus. And I'm like, ooh, does that mean I'm the boss? I'm in charge? And again, I'd been the quote unquote lead pastor before, but that was part of what I said is I don't want that title. That's icky for me. I'm not interested in that. And I'm not interested in being a boss either and being in charge, if you will. That doesn't do well. And so when we first began, and it was funny, Jess said this morning, I remember early on, you were kind of it. And I remember quickly there was a time where like your staff meetings was you having conversations with yourself as the joke that I made. Literally, what are you doing, Wally? Well, I was just trying. That's unacceptable. And then that kind of thing. So early on. But I don't do well in that setting. That's not the way I'm wired. That's not my deal. And so what I was looking for and what was beautiful is the way I would say is went from where we say solo guy to dance partners. And so when I hired Kara, let me tell you real quick, we had a need for musical worship, as we would say it. And so Kara and I have actually, with my wife and I, we've known Kara for a number of years and had a friendship before that. And then it wasn't later until we got to meet Dave and so that, beautiful. But we had known each other. So when we sat down to talk about a job, though, it first began with, hey, Kara, here's what's available. Here's what we're looking for with Walker Harbor. We need some music and stuff. And if you know Kara and if you've heard, she has tremendous gifts when it comes to music and singing and all of that, and it's wonderful. But when we sat down together and we began to talk, and what I knew is, oh, well, there's way more going on here. You're not just going to come. This isn't a stepping to get in with this community, but you're a pastor. Kara's a pastor and a teacher, and there's way more going on. And I'm like, well, we'll just get you in the door, but you're going to help guide and lead, and you're going to dance. Could you dance with us? Because that's what I need, and it's beautiful. And so I was saying, oh, there's way more, and so we'll get going with that. And so that's kind of how it's like, okay, and that'll get things started. That was helpful. And then just more recently bringing Lisa on board, and Lisa hasn't been with us too terribly long, but when we interviewed Lisa, which was like the shortest interview process in the history of the world, but what I'll tell you why. Because when we sat down, what we were looking for is we were looking for some more musical worship stuff along with some administrative, let's tie some things together because Wally tends to play in the clouds, hired Kara, who also loves to play in the clouds.
No help.
And so then it's like, woo, we're dancing on the clouds. And someone's like, could someone tie a string on this goofy balloon? That's a good image. And so we needed some of that. And when we sat down with Lisa, here's the thing. If you see Lisa, oh, stunning voice, but just kind of you pick up this kind of quiet, soft-spoken in some ways, but then big voice, which is a picture of Lisa in that there is a strength to her and this kind of grounding, this firmness to holding things together that we picked up on, and we're like, oh, we got to have her on board because that's exactly what we need. And she is way more than just an artist. She's way more than an organizer. She was a perfect dance partner for us, what we needed as a community. So she comes on and like, now we're doing something. And then Jess, when we hired her, when we sat down and said, will you be able to lead kids? The answer is, yeah, she can do that, but there's way more going on. way more going on. So it's like she can do that, but it's only going to become more. And so when we said, oh, it's such a perfect dance partner for this team and this community, that's what we were looking for. So what that looks like practically is if you're with any of the team members, if you will, people are leading, and they're like, hey, here's what we're going to do, or this is what we're kind of leaning towards. And if you ever find yourself going, oh, that's what you say, so we should probably go ask Wally. Like if you're like, hey, we're going to do this. Oh, but we probably ask Wally. He's the pastor. Wrong answer. Wrong response. And by the way, I would call that death by paper cuts for me. Because if it, right? Okay. What? I said that. Death by paper cuts, because if you're like, oh, no, no, we need to get Wally's permission. We need to do that because no. They are empowered. We are dance partners, and what they say usually is better than whatever, and they're keeping me on track, and so we do it together. It is not a hierarchy. It is a dance. It is a dance. And oh, by the way, we are, big thing, Trinity-based community. We're about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we would say. Trinity, by the way, that word doesn't appear in the scriptures, Trinity, but where they get the idea of Trinity, the whole concept, it comes from what they actually did call in the, like, the church fathers and mothers, they said perichoresis. Perichoresis. Peri means around, and choresis means dance. They understand the Trinity as a dance around. The Trinity dances in partnership. That's what is going on. It is this dance. Well, then that's probably how we should operate as a community, and it's for sure how we should operate in leadership. So what we have is a team that is so fantastic, and I'm thrilled with it, and I know it'll only grow. And that's why we say, you know, we participate together, and that's why we make up funny titles for ourselves, and why I don't have the title. I pushed against it and will fight against it. I am not the lead pastor. I'm just one of the pastors here. I'm just helping do my part, and I'm at my best when I'm dancing in my area. Okay? Dance in my little zone, but if you ask me to dance outside it, oh boy, see, it's just, now I'm bumping into people and I'm creating chaos. So Wally, can you please dance in your zone? And so when that happens, that's kind of where we roll. Boy, that was a riff.
Yeah, well done.
Okay.
It was good. And might I add that we did not come up with a name. Wally is the one who can't help it. He has to come up with some sort of creative name for, well, anything really, but
that when we, because when Kara was hired, they said, oh, so she's the worship coordinator. What? I said, no, she is the architect of contemplation and ethos.
Well, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, and then the people that run the system said, well, what? I don't even know what that means. We can't have you do that. And then I said, well, whatever. That's in parentheses then, and that's what our community will know. Same with Lisa. When she came on, gave her a name, I'm like, get her. Please. And I was just with a guy who's a part of the other campuses, and he gave me his business card, and it says like worship director on it. And I said, oh, your job title puts me to sleep. I'm like, that's not okay, man. You're way more than that. But I began to just kind of name, this is who you are. This is who you are. Don't do that. Oh, sorry. Kara's your
turn.
Yeah,
and really, isn't that what we should be doing for every person in this space? I mean, there is no person in here that is any exception to that. Some statements about kind of what we believe about who we are and how we gather in this space, in light of what Wally was just talking about. We strive and we believe in unity within the diversity, and here's what that means. No two people, obviously, as we talked about already, no two of us are exactly the same. I say this to even my twinsies all the time. Like, yeah, you guys are identical, and you maybe started as the exact same cell once and split in half, but they're more than just that, obviously. But no two people exactly the same. We have different stories, different experiences. We have different pains, different joys. We have different levels of melanin in our skin. We have different, everything that we bring to the table, no two compared, but what we have exactly the same is the ability to share all of that, to bring the whole self, body, mind, spirit, to the table, to be in relationship with each other. So every person who comes into this space, we see you that way. We expect that we will all facilitate this experience together. But not just facilitate, but also participate. Because as Wally was saying earlier, as far as what this container of an experience looks like, we want it to be something that isn't just about Sundays. We want it to be something that is about all of the days. And so we believe in integrating these elements through participating. So that is why we invite constantly, we do our best to invite you into the growth zone so that the more we practice, the more we participate with each other, the more that it is integrated into your day-to-day life. We have to expect from one another, and I don't use the word expect lightly or in a controlling way, but expect that we will show up 100% as ourselves, whatever that looks like, because that's the way that you are needed. We need you to be you because, in Wally's words, I am going to quote him, because you, in all of your you-ness, knit together with others is the way for us to experience the full us-ness. I liked that, Wally. And that goes for every relationship, not just this space, every relationship that you find yourself in. And may it be so as you practice here as when we leave these doors.
Which leads to how we scatter, and we talk about this a lot. And if you are on the email list and you get the weekly email this week, what I had said even is, hey, for those of you who are going camping or doing something and you're going, just know you are the church. You are the church. Wherever you are Walker Harbor. So, and everything that you do, and that wasn't meant to, when I write it, I feel thinking like, if someone's like, oh, he's trying to guilt us when we go away, he's trying to tell us, pay attention. Yeah, pay attention to what you're doing, because you are the church, but it's not a guilt thing. It's a celebratory, just owning this is who we are and where we go. We are the church. Church isn't stuck here on a Sunday, but it's as you go. So that means if you're going camping, my thought actually is because you are the church and you're a part of Walker Harbor Church, you are probably going to have the best campfire. You're going to have the best party doing that and the best whatever time it is that you go as you're out there. But scattering, and this is why love Walker. This is why we talk about this. But when we go, we are all missionaries. So when people always say to me, oh, I wish I could be a missionary, which to them a missionary means you go to some other foreign country and you bring Jesus there, that's exhausting. By the way, he's already there. You just have to name that which has been here the entire time. People just weren't aware of it. Ding, ding, ding. Awaken to that, right? Jesus says, oh, I had to bring him there. What? Jesus wasn't there. Are you kidding me? People just aren't aware of it. Fine. So wherever you go, you are. So if you've said, yes, I'm in, welcome. You're a missionary. Mm-hmm. Too late if you're like, I'd like to be one. You get into vocation. I get that. But you are that. So when you go, here's the thing then. What I would say this. God is for us. So then when we look at it, God is for us, so we'd be for the community. God is with us. We call that Jesus, Emmanuel, right? God is with us. We need to be with the community. God is in us in terms of spirit. It says the Holy Spirit in us. We are to be in the community and help them name that which is already there. So God for us, God with us, God in us. So we should be for others, with others, so that we can name that which is in others. So that's what we do in the community. Why love Walker? Because we're just trying to love well. We're trying to be present and name all of that before people, before the community. Because you know what's just maddening is when people think the church is separate, some else, doing its own thing. And they're like, and then they all, or they feel the church is against them, criticizing them, cutting them down. That doesn't make any sense. We're supposed to be the proclaimers and livers of livers. That's something. But we're to live out good is one. The whole idea. Not don't be
a liver.
Live it out. Be a liver. Be that is just funny. of the good news. That is good news. We're supposed to live out good news. It should be good news. People should say, that is fantastic news. Your life is fantastic news because you're rooted in Christ. Yes? Yes? So when we do that, so if you're asking, like, we don't offer a whole lot of church, quote unquote, church programs, that's why. Because, by the way, the city of Walker is already doing a ton of really stunning things, and we are trying to integrate ourselves in it and be good news within it. There are concerts in the park in the summer. They're doing all sorts of wonderful things. There's a parade. We didn't have to start our own parade. We joined the parade and love Walker well within the parade. There are all sorts of things happening already that we can participate in and with and before and be good news within that. Are you with me? That's why, if you're like, well, why don't we have all these church programs? Because church programs tend to take church people and put them in a huddle, and now we're absent from the community. And so if we have too many of them, we can spend 7 days a week huddled up together and only be together and miss out on the wider thing that's happening. Do we want to have times where we have teachings and evenings where we dig into the scriptures more? Yes, we do. We create breaking bread groups, which we're in the process of launching. We just sent out. We can share meals together, get to know one another better. But it's to send one another better. That's why. But we don't want to get bogged down if you're like, do you have this Bible study? And now are you going to do this? And when do we have another thing? And you're like, oh, I'm sleepy. Now it sounds like we're just going to get linked in together and we're going to miss out on the wider thing. So that's why Love Walker. That's why that. Discipleship is growing relationships. We shape one another, sharpen one another to grow in Christ. And that's done through relationship. And we need the whole kind of walk for that. And not just a couple, not just a few, but as many as possible, because it shapes us. And diversity changes us. And we need those other voices. We need that to figure out who we are and who we're rooted in. Shared life together with honesty and integrity, in which we invite one another to waken to the divine who has been here the entire time. We just weren't aware of it. We just strive then to call each person to awaken to that which has been here. Do you see that? And maybe you can. Hey, did you notice that? I didn't notice that. That some people don't see. I don't. We see that. We need those people, as I called them last week, if you're like, oh, an Azer Kenedgo. People who stand face to face with us and call us to be more. We need those people in our lives. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's why Love Walker, that's why if you're like, well, we need to do more church programs. We're probably not going to do that. But there's tons of opportunities to be the church and to be sharpened. So we'll do that. I think that's all we have, right? That's it.
I mean, with you, I'm not sure. There's always more.
Yeah. So now, this is just really getting me started for third service. We'll pump the brakes on that one. So real quick, we want to reflect. We want to spend a little time letting some of that hopefully just roll around within us while we sing. But does anyone have any thoughts or questions on anything? It's great if anyone's like, yeah, but what about, or that makes me think, or I don't know, as you are participating in this community, does that raise any questions or thoughts for you? Don't have to, but always trying to create space just in case someone's like, tell me more, tell me. Yeah, I'm sure that's what you're thinking.
Love it.
By the way, that's this story of Jacob. I have lots of favorites, but it is the favorite. Because it is always, from my beginning, when I said yes to Christ, it's always been humming right there. And it's always just doing a work on me. So, such a gift. So I'd go and read it, Genesis chapter 25 through 33. Chapter 26 seems like a little bit of a, what happened there? But then it keeps on with that narrative of Jacob becoming Israel, getting a new name. Oh, come on. Anybody? Great. I'd love to pray. We're gonna knit ourselves together a little bit with song, right? Yeah. Okay. That would be beautiful. That would be fantastic. So if you would join us in prayer. Gracious God, you are good. And what a What a gift that we have to gather together in community, where we invite you, God, to shape and reshape us, to speak into our lives, into this community, to guide us along. We are following you. That has always been the invitation. Jesus, when you walked among the people, your invitation over and over was, come, follow me. And so we desire to do that. It's a practice. It's a movement. It's a way of life. And we desire to do that in community, with the community, and for the community. And so, God, we just ask that you would continue to push and poke and prod and roll these things around in us, that we may grow. And that's our desire. That's our hope, is that we grow in and through you. God, I'm grateful for my friend Kara, and to be able to share in this, and this team, Lisa and Jess, and then all these folks that have carved out time and who you are making them to be, and that they all have gathered here this morning. That all of it is a gift, and I'm grateful. We bless you for this, God. Have your way and continue to have your way in us and through us as we reflect. In the name of Jesus.